As we were saying on Friday, we have been dealing with, because of this virus, a lot of death in the land, and not so much away from us, but very close. Many people that have been touchable, people that we know that have been touchable. We have experienced or knowledge of their passing away, and that kind of sparked it's been a concern. I don't want to say sparked really a concern, but it's something that is constantly stays in front of my mind, and it's something that Bishop Johnson had said. I was doing one of the recordings, I think, this past week or the week before last, and he had made the comment. He said, well, you know, someone had came to him and said, you always are talking about the new birth. You're always talking about being the born again. And they were, the comment was made as though the person was saying, don't you have anything else to talk about? And he was explaining, and it was true. If you are a preacher sent by Jesus, you realize what is important for the man. You say, well, out of all of the things that a man can accomplish, all the opportunities that are out there, you say, well, Elder Scudder, I want to set out to build a home, or I want to set out to start a business, or I want to set out to be a scientist or a doctor or whatever. Out of all of those opportunities that is laid out before you, I want to open up my own restaurant. I want to open up my own design business. All of these opportunities that are set before you, you have to say within yourself, what is the most important? What is the most important opportunity that is laid out for the man? If we look at the scriptures and reality, really, you look at the reality of life, scriptures tell us, and it is proven, that when you come into the world, you come into the world naked. And when you leave out of the world, you leave naked. The scriptures specifically tell us that the man can't take any of his labor with him. He can't take any of the things that he's accumulated in this life with him. So you say, well, what's more important? What's more important? It's not so much as the things that I build or do or say. It's what, how I prepare myself for how I leave this earth. Well, a new birth is the only path, the only plan that prepares you to leave the earth. There's no other plan that does that. People say, well, I'm going to get life insurance. Life insurance doesn't prepare you to leave the earth. It take care of you after you're gone. It give other people money. It don't give you money. It give other people money, and you only pray that they do what they supposed to do with it. You know, you can leave $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 to your children and say, you know, you use this for my funeral. Your children can say, after you're dead and gone, I'm going to cremate you for $800, and we're going to pocket the rest of this. And there's nothing that you can do about that. You can't control what people do with what is called your money that you've left to them after you pass away. So you should say within yourself, what is more important? You can't even control the house. You say, well, I'm going to leave this house to my baby child. Well, when that child get older, child say, well, I don't want to live in this house no more. I'm going to sell it. Well, you know, your parents worked hard for you to get this house. Well, it ain't mine. You know, I didn't work hard for it. I'm going to sell it. I don't want it. I'm going to sell it. Now, you think of the parent could come back and say, oh, no, don't you sell it. You know, that's our family house. Child don't care nothing about that. It means nothing to them. The parent that has left it can't control it anymore. You know, it's out of their control. They can't even take it into the earth with them. That stays here on earth, but they can't take that on the earth, out the earth with them. So you should say, what is more important? What is more important to us? It's to get our souls prepared for eternity. And the new birth is the only thing that does that. People say, well, why does a person have to be born again? Well, you look at, according to the scripture, we come into the earth in sin. According to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, or death as a result of sin. And death passed upon who? All men. For that all have done what? Everyone is born in the state or the condition of sin. You see, all of this money that is spent trying to control this nature. You see, people say, oh, you see, we're looking at the political advertisements going on currently, where they're saying, where people calling 911 and nobody's there to answer. Say, 911, what is your emergency? If you've got a home invasion, press this number. You got this, you know, someone is trying to steal from you, press this number. You know, all of these many different things. And then they say, well, if you defund the police, this is what's going to happen if you let this person become the president. Well, you think about the fear that it is putting inside of people. You say, well, why is that a concern? Because people feel that if you spend more money, you can control sin. You can't control sin. I don't care. Well, you can have a police officer on every block. Somebody is still going to get killed. You ever thought about that? If you can have a police officer on every corner in the city, it is still not going to stop sin from happening in the city. And the scripture done already told you that the wage of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. And we want to live. You should say within yourself, I don't want to die, Elder Scudder. I enjoy life. I enjoy the concept of living. Well, you should be saying to yourself, if you don't want to die, then that means you don't want to stay in sin. Because the wage of it is death. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I don't want to die. I'm trying to tell you then, you don't want to stay in sin. I don't care how fun it may seem. I don't care how, ain't really that many people in the church. Ain't really that many people following behind Jesus. I want to follow behind the crowd. But I'm trying to tell you that the crowd wants to stay in sin. And the wage of sin is death. You have to say within yourself, if you want life, you've got to follow the one that came to deal with sin. Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 1 and 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. If you want to be saved from sin, you've got to come through Jesus. Jesus came to do what? Save us. Save us from sin. If the wage of sin is death, Jesus came to save us from death. Right? That's why he says, I am come that you might have life. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. You think about it, you say, well, I'm a good person, Elder Scudder. I treat people right. I mind my business. I try to help people. But that doesn't do anything about your nature. You're born stained. You're born tainted. Because of the way you were born in sin. Come on, Matt, go over to Psalms 51. 51 and 1. Yes.
Have mercy upon
That's
me,
it.
O God.
Now, in other words, when you realize you were born in the state of or the condition of sin, you can't go before Jesus and try to prove that you don't deserve the judgment of sin. Jesus is already telling you the wage of it is death. So you can't go before him and tell him how good you are. You can't go before him and tell him how much you care for people. You can't go before Jesus and tell him how many people you feed, how many people you take care of, how you're always there for people. You can't do that. Nah, because the wage of that state, the wage of that condition is death. And the only thing you can do in your sin is cry out for mercy. That's what Psalms 51 and 1 is saying. The writer is telling you what the person has to say when they realize that they are in that state or that condition. They have to have this kind of mind frame. attitude. They have to have this kind of attitude. An attitude of what? Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Uh-huh. Have mercy upon me, O God, right?
God, according to thy loving kindness.
That's the truth. According to the love and the kindness of Jesus. Now, in order for you to understand the love and the kindness of Jesus, you've got to say within yourself, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus show me his love? According to John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Famous scripture. For God so do what? Love the world. That he gave himself. Huh? That's right. Now, many people will look at that and say, oh, God gave his son. There's two. God had a child. No, he didn't. God didn't have no child. God is a spirit. And spirits have no blood to shed. Spirits have no body. They have no gender. They're neither male nor female. They have no gender. They have no body. And because sin came through a man, a human being, Adam disobeyed the instruction and he brought sin into the world. Because a man brought sin into the world, it would have to take a man, another body, in order to deal with sin. Nobody after Adam had the power to deal with sin. Why? Because everyone after Adam was born in the state or the condition of sin. It took someone that was able to be born or come into the earth different from Adam. Huh? What do you mean different from Adam? Somebody that needed to be born without a mother and without a father. Somebody that was able to just show up. Huh? Jesus is that one. Scripture says that he is the unique. Huh? The unique child. Yes. The unique son. Yes. What do you mean calling him the unique son? He had no mother. Right. He had no father. Yes. Scripture said he's Melchizedek. Right. He has no beginning of days, no ending of days. Right. He just showed up. Yes. Huh? Right. He showed up in the womb of a virgin. Yes. Virgin said, it's impossible for me to be pregnant. I don't know a man. Right. A man has never been I've never touched a man. A man has never been in me before. In other words, it's impossible for me to be pregnant. Huh? Jesus sent that angel and said, the power of the Almighty have overshadowed you. The scripture says that in your womb, God has put himself in your womb, right? Scripture says that when she realized that she had that baby inside of her, and it was not because of a man. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Something miraculous, something wonderful has happened to me, right? That's the truth. God put himself into the womb of that virgin, and then she brought forth that child. She couldn't even control what she named that child. Angels came right before her birth, the child's birth, and said, you've got to call him Jesus. You've got to call him Jesus so that the scriptures can be fulfilled. What scripture? The scripture, the prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah said, and she shall bring forth a son. Huh? And scripture says that son, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Scripture says the angel of the Lord told her that what was in your womb came from God himself. And you've got to call his name Jesus, that the scriptures could be fulfilled, that the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's the truth, saints.
Yes, he is.
Only one after Adam that had the power to be born outside of sin was God himself. God created Adam, so the only one that could create something else. Huh? God created another body. This time he said, I ain't going to give it up to a human to do it by itself. God said, I'm going to get into that human body myself.
Yes.
And I am going to deal with this thing called sin.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
That's the truth. God got into that flesh.
Yes.
And he walked on this earth.
Yes, he did.
And he showed humanity
right.
that you can live a clean
right.
life.
Yes.
That you can live a clean life free
yes.
from
right.
sin.
Yes.
You can live a life free from right. misery.
Yes.
Huh? Free from all of the pollutions that go along with this thing that's trying to destroy us. Huh? Scripture said that he became sin for us. Huh? When did he become sin? When he got up on that cross. He got up on that cross to take on the sin of the world. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin. In other words, he wasn't born like Adam. He wasn't born in sin. He did not know any sin. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness. He knew that he was going to judge the world by the standards of righteousness. Therefore, he became sin for us that we might be made the child of God, right? That we can be put in a position, huh? To be declared righteous. Huh? That's the truth. Now, you look at Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified. And that word justified means to be declared righteous. Therefore, being justified by faith. Huh? That's what the devil doesn't want you to have. Especially during a day and time like this. That devil doesn't want you and I to have no faith in the plan of salvation. He wants you to think that you can get in another kind of way. Huh?
Yeah.
But the writer done told you there are many people trying to climb into the sheepfold another kind of way.
Yeah.
That's what John chapter number 10 and verse number 1 is saying. When people are trying to come in, not by the door, but they're trying to climb up another kind of way.
Yeah.
Man has created all of these denominations,
yeah.
all of these faiths,
yeah.
all of these ways. You got the Baptist way, the Catholic way, the Methodist way, the Jehovah's Witness way, the Islam way. Everybody's trying to climb into the sheepfold another kind of way. But Jesus says, I am the door. If you don't come in by me, you are a thief and a robber. But if you come in by Jesus, you'll enter in and find green pastures. Right? Come on, saints. That's why you can stand flat-footed and say holiness is the right way. The live right is the right way. People can talk about you. People can say you don't have to do all of this, but the way that you're living is lined up by the scripture. And the Lord told you to be holy. Why? Because he's holy. This is that highway that everybody can walk on. It's not for the fighting man. It's not for the mean man. It's not for the sinner. The sinner has got to ask the Lord to have mercy to put me up on this highway, right? That's the truth. You can't do this on your own. Lord is the only one that can put you up here. He is the justifier.
Yes, he is.
Meaning he is the one that declares you righteous.
Yes, he
declares you righteous because you believe in him.
Jesus.
That devil is trying to do everything he
yes,
can
yes.
to keep you from putting all of your faith in Jesus.
Yes.
He wants you to put your faith in man-made devices.
Yes, yes.
In things that man has created.
Jesus.
Why does he do this? To occupy your time, to distract you, to take your mind off of reality. The reality is you got a problem, and the only one that can solve that problem is Jesus. What is your problem? Sin. Sin is your problem. Sin keeps you doing things you should not do. Sin keeps you saying things you should not say. Sin has you living ways you should not live. Sin makes you go places you should not go. Who can deliver me from this body of sin? Nobody but Jesus. That's the truth. Nobody but Jesus can deliver you from that body of sin. He don't want you to get born again. He wants you to go on and say, I'm doing right. I'm doing good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. that you know you still got sin inside of you. You know sin is controlling you. Huh? Sin is dominating your mind. Sin is dominating your thoughts. Huh? Sin is the one giving you all of these ideas. Sin is developing things inside of your mind that is not like Jesus. And the only one that can deliver you from sin is Jesus. Since that he came to destroy, not to help you cope with, not to help you deal with, not to help you get along with, but he came to destroy all the works of the devil. Folk don't want to come into holiness because Jesus is going to change who you are. He's not going to let you stay the same. He's going to destroy your life. Why? Why is he going to destroy your life? So that he can make you a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, right? All things are become what? Jesus wants to destroy. Destroy all that stuff inside of you that's not like him. And you got to ask him, Lord, please have mercy. While you're destroying me, don't destroy me. All that stuff that represents me, while you're destroying me, don't destroy me. That's the truth. That's what people are afraid of holiness, because they think that the Lord is trying to destroy their soul. Nah, he ain't trying to destroy your soul. He's trying to destroy all that stuff that has attached itself, that tries to identify itself with you. Sin has attached itself to you, and it's trying to make you identify with it. That's what Judas had a big problem with, that because sin attached itself to Judas, and it laid Judas as a traitor, one that would betray Jesus. And if he had a mind to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't want to be a betrayer. I don't want to be a cheater. I don't want to be a lover of money more than I love you. If he had a mind to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, Jesus could have helped that brother, right? But he could not detach himself from the sin, right? But Jesus loved him. Jesus loves your soul. He loves your soul so much that he died for you. Even when you didn't care about him, he still died for you. He died to show you just how much he loves you. Just how much he wants you to be saved, right? He don't want you to be lost. He don't want you to be destroyed. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He realizes he made hell for a purpose. Yes, he did. He made hell for a purpose. He made hell for Satan. Those fallen angels that rejected him. Yes, he did. He made hell. He made that lake of fire for Satan and all of those angels that rejected him. And that devil knew what he had to look forward to. Therefore, when he saw Jesus form this creature and breathe into this creature the breath of life, and he gave that creature an instruction, do not eat from that tree, from the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan, saw a way to get into the creature and said, I am going to do everything I can do to prevent that creature from going back with Jesus, from spending eternity in utter bliss. I want him to face torment with me. Therefore, he tempted that fella. He said, "If the Lord knows the day that you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods and you will know the difference between good and evil." Eve took that tree and she ate that fruit and gave also to her husband, and the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked and they became ashamed. See, sin changed you. Sin won't let you look at people in the face. Sin changed
shames you. It causes you to do things that you know you should not do. Why? Because it's full of shame, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Full of shame. It's not going to help you live up to your full potential. It's trying to take stuff away from you. Huh? Well, you should be happy. Yeah. Well, you should be glad. Well, you should be at peace. Huh? Well, you should be a loving creature.
Amen.
Huh? Right. Well, you should be easy to get along with.
Right.
Huh? Sin tried to take all that away from you. Sin want to make you hard. Sin want to make you non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
If sin don't want you to be a bender.
Right.
Huh? Sin want you to be stiff.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Rigid. Hard. Bitter. Huh?
Yeah.
Full of malice.
Yeah.
Full of strife.
Yeah.
Full of vengeance.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sin wants you to ignore the reality. Sin wants you to ignore the truth. Huh? What is the truth? Nobody's going to love you better than Jesus. Huh? Sin don't want you to realize that. Sin wants you to try to find love in this one and in that one. And think while you're out there, everybody's doing it. Everybody's trying it. But the truth is, Jesus loves you. You can live this life in love with Jesus, free from sin. That is the truth, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes.
Sin wants to put all of these examples of what love is in front of you. And sin promotes people that do not know Jesus. Y'all understand that? People that do not know Jesus. Sin promotes them and defines that this is true love. They said you'll ride and you'll die. Somebody's going to be with you all the way through it. While you in your Bonnie and Clyde attitude, you'll ride and you'll die. Sin says that this is what you should be striving for. Even when you make mistakes, your ride and your die will be right there with you. Why? Because we in this to the death. But sin doesn't want to expose something. Sin doesn't want to expose a harsh reality. What is the harsh reality? That if I die in my sin, I'm going to be eternally separated from life. I'm going to be eternally separated from joy. I'm going to be eternally separated from peace. Where will you be? You'll be in torment. That devil wants you to spend eternity in torment. Why? Because he's going to torment. He's going to the lake of fire. And he wants you to go right there with him, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
He knows Jesus cannot lie. He knows Jesus said, if your name is not in that book, huh? Your name is not in that book. You are going to the lake of fire. Huh? Oh, yeah. You can go around fooling people all day long. Talking about how much you love Jesus. But the real you is your soul. That's why I tell you, saints, be honest. Be honest with yourself. You got to know how you living when ain't nobody else around you. You got to know those enemies that have asserted themselves in your life that only Jesus can deal with. And when you are willing to acknowledge who you are, the Lord said, I'm going to give you a throne of grace. I'm going to give you a throne of mercy so that you can pray like Psalms 51. I'm going to give you a place so that you can express what you need. What do you need from Jesus? I need you to have mercy upon me. Oh God, according to your love and your kindness. When I think about the love and the kindness of Jesus, my mind immediately goes to Calvary. Why? Because I see blood being shed for me. I see blood being poured out to show me what real love is, right? I see blood being shown to show me what real love is. So I won't be fooled. Huh? When my mom whispers in my ear and says, son, I love you. Or my dad whispers after he finished spanking me, saying, son, you know I'm doing this because I love you. Or when my wife looks in my eyes when we were before the altar exchanging rings, saying, oh, I really, 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 really love you. Jesus saying, all of that is good, but I'm going to set true love. I'm going to show you genuine love. Love that won't leave you. Huh? Why? Because your mother and your father are going to leave you. Huh? Mom and daddy are going to die one day. You may not want them to die, but they're getting out of here. When the Lord calls, they're going to leave. Huh? Your husband or your wife is going to die one day. Huh? You are going to be separated by death. Meaning you're going to be by yourself. Nobody else is going to be there with you. You're going to need some real love. Huh? To be with you when no one else can be found. That's why Jesus said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. My love ain't going nowhere. It's there for eternity, right? Huh? An everlasting love. That's the kind of love you want to know. I want an everlasting love. Huh? When I'm missing the hug from my mama. Huh? When I'm missing the hug from my wife. Huh? I want an everlasting love. Meaning Jesus will come by and he will hug me. Huh? He will comfort me. He will console me. He will let you know I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, right? See, I see a whole lot of people having harsh reality checks. 2020 has been a harsh reality check. Huh? You go to the hospital, you can't even take your loved ones with you. They tell you, leave them at the front door. You got to go back into that hospital by yourself. Huh? That old cold, sick environment. You got to go back there by yourself. Ain't got nobody to hold your hand. Ain't got nobody to swipe the tears from your eyes. You got nobody. You are by yourself. Huh? You got to go down the path of death by yourself. Huh? Come on, saints. Harsh reality. The white man don't like you because of your skin color. The black man don't like you because of your skin color. Harsh reality. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants to be bothered with you. You ugly to everybody. They can't stand you. You will never be good enough, right? Harsh reality, right? We don't need you no more. We don't have no more money. Huh? You have no job. Huh? Harsh reality. Huh? Can't pay your bills. Go stand in the line and ask somebody to feed you. It's hot outside. Stand anyway. It's a harsh reality.
Thank you, Jesus.
You mean to tell me I can't even walk down the street? No. Stay away from people. 6 feet. 6 feet away from them. Don't let them touch you. Don't let them breathe on you. If they touch you or breathe on you, you could be sick. Harsh reality. Huh? It looked like somebody coughed. Will you cough on me? Oh, gosh. You done gave me the virus. Harsh reality. Fear, huh? Anxiety, stress, harsh reality, right? Can't nobody protect you? Huh? Can't nobody protect you? You're going to get it. You're going to get it and you're going to get it. And when you get it, it could kill you. They ain't got no medicine to help you. Huh? Harsh reality. Yeah, harsh reality. When we try to figure it out, it changes. Harsh reality. Huh? Death is in the land. Harsh reality. I don't care. You can't avoid death. Huh? You cannot avoid death. The appetite to kill, steal, and destroy is in the land. Huh? It's in the land. Huh? Can't nobody just... Well, how do we deal with it? You better come to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can help you deal with your sin. Jesus is the only one that deals with the core of the problem.
Yes.
He goes right down and deals with the problem. He looks past your skin tone.
Yes.
He looks past your physical condition.
Yes.
He looks past your economical state and says, you are the way you are because of sin.
Yes.
And the only way you can deal with sin, you got to hear the message over and over again. You've got to be born again. Born again out of the water and of the Spirit, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
You got to be born again. Huh?
Yes.
Got to go down in the water.
Yes.
In the name of the one that died for sin.
Oh,
huh?
Yes.
Oh, but I went down in the water, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But Father, Son, Holy Ghost didn't die for sin.
Yes.
Those titles didn't die for sin.
Right.
She said, she shall bring forth a son, thou shall call his name Jesus.
Yes.
He identified Jesus.
Right.
He shall save his people from their sin.
Yes.
He has identified himself as the Savior of sin.
Yes.
That's why when you go down in the water, you say, Lord, I want to be identified with the one that saves from sin.
Right.
Therefore, you got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
That preacher has got to say, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Got to take you down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Why? For the remission of sin. Huh?
Yes.
Then you come up out that water, you got to walk
in
the newness of life. Huh?
Jesus.
People come to church and say, well, I just need some friends. Nah, you need Jesus.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
I need somebody to hang out with. Nah, you need to learn to hang out with Jesus.
Right.
I just need somebody to talk to. Nah, you need to learn to talk to Jesus.
Right.
Put your cell phone down. You don't need to dial his number.
Right.
All you need to do is call him by his name.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Somebody trying to tell you how to receive the Holy Ghost, how to be saved,
right,
and they not mentioning the name of Jesus, they don't know Jesus.
Right.
Huh? Well, how can you say that, Elder Scudder? Because if they knew Jesus, they would tell you, in order for you to receive the Holy Ghost, you got to call on his name.
Right.
You got to have a respect for the name of Jesus.
Right.
You got to realize there's no other name
right
under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. How much do I have to call him? You got to call him in the morning. You got to call him in the noonday. You got to call him in the midnight hour. You've got to get Jesus saturated in your mind. Everywhere you turn, it's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you get on your knees, you got to call Jesus. When you sit in your seat, you got to call Jesus. When you walk the streets, you got to call Jesus. Why? Because that's how you get saved, right? You got to call him with everything inside of
him.
You say, well, the scripture told me to seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You got to identify who the Lord is. The Lord is Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. That's why we can go through that whole Bible. Whenever we see a title attributed to who Jesus is, I can just put the name right there. Huh? I ain't got to preach a message saying God is good when I know God gave himself a name. Huh? I don't have to say I thank the Lord for our Heavenly Father when I know the Heavenly Father gave himself a name. He gave himself a name which is above all names. Huh? That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. You got difficult people in your life. You got people that don't want to bend, that don't want to work with you. I'm telling you flat footed, give them Jesus. If they don't want Jesus, put it on them anyway. Put it all on them anyway. Say, I don't want you to preach to me Jesus no more. Then all in your mind, say their name and say Jesus. Every time you say John, say John is stubborn. John needs Jesus. John said, don't you preach to me no more. Alright, I won't say his name to you no more. But all in my prayer, when it's just me and sweet Jesus, I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, touch John's mind. Jesus, make John come to his senses, right?
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus.
That's true.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That's true.
Jesus.
They don't want you to preach that name.
Jesus.
They don't want you to use that name.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But you've got to know.
Jesus.
You got to know where the power was at.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Should have done told you every knee going bow to him. That's what the scripture say. Every knee is going bow to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Whether you do it here on earth or whether you do it in hell,
right,
you still going to bow down to Jesus.
Right.
Hell is full of people that are bowing down to Jesus right now.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That rich man ain't sitting at his table no more.
Nope.
He ain't dressing no fine linen no more.
Jesus.
Huh? What is he doing now, Scott? He's on his knees.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
He's on his mental knees.
Yes.
And he's bowing down to Jesus right now.
Right.
Jesus exalted in judgment.
Jesus.
Y'all realize that?
Yes.
Jesus exalted in judgment,
right,
and he is glorified in judgment. Huh?
Yes.
You can't even glorify yourself in hell.
No.
You ain't got nothing to glorify about yourself. In hell, why? You're in there by yourself. You're in your own flame burning by yourself. Can't nobody help you? Next man besides you is crying just like you are. Huh? Next man besides you in the same condition that you in. Only thing you can do is look up. Huh? When you look up, you don't see nobody but Jesus. Huh? What you talking about, Elder Scudder? He's in hell also. David said, if I make my bed in hell, Jesus is there too, right? Where is he down in hell for? To remind you that he's God.
Yes.
Huh?
Jesus.
Every time you look in his face,
Jesus,
you realize you are weak. Huh? You are impotent. You are powerless. You can't do nothing. Huh? That's why it's good to have that kind of attitude right now. Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Huh? In him I live, I move, and I have my being. I can't do nothing without you, Jesus, right? Better thank the Lord you got that kind of mind now.
Right.
You don't want to go down to hell and try to and be forced on you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whole lot of folk down in hell. They're forced. They're forced into it.
Right.
Huh? They're forced into it. What you mean now, it's gotta be forced into it? They forced to believe Jesus God. They ain't got no choice. They in hell, they forced to believe. You living on the earth right now with all these choices. And you think you the most to say the least. I ain't going nowhere today. Huh? Yeah, but you got that attitude. Huh? Get your little paycheck. I ain't paying no tithes. I'm going to do what I want to do with my money. You got choices. You're doing what you want to do. You're your own person. But when you get to hell, you have no choice. Huh? You are going to bow down. That's what the scripture say. Every knee shall do what? Bow.
Right.
You're going to bow down and you're going to confess.
Yes.
That Jesus is what? Lord. Know you not that the Lord, he is God.
Yes.
It is he that hath done what? Made us. And now, see, that's why you got to have that kind of mind frame now.
Yes.
See, I know we living around this world. Everybody's doing their own thing, living their kind of life. But don't you be fooled.
Right.
There's a day of reckoning coming. Huh?
Right.
There's a day of reckoning coming.
Yes.
And what the Lord said, do not be deceived.
Yes.
God is not mocked.
Yes.
What you sow, you're going to reap.
Right.
It's going to come back on you.
Right.
You sow to this flesh, you shall of this flesh reach corruption, destruction.
Right. Right.
In other words, you're going to die.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Die how? In this flesh.
Yeah.
People want to change at death.
Yeah.
But then they want to forget how did they live.
Right.
Huh? How did you live before you died?
Right. Wow.
Huh? Big homosexual. I'm in love with her. Two women, I'm in love with her. Two men, I'm in love with him. Then they want to change at death. When the Lord done told you, it's an abomination.
Right.
Huh? I didn't say it, Jesus said it.
Yeah,
right. It's an abomination.
Yeah.
Man lying with man, it makes Jesus sick.
Right.
Women lying with women, it makes Jesus sick, right?
Right.
Yeah. Jesus said, I'm going to give you over. Huh? To let you work out all that stuff in yourself.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, that's the truth. But one day the Lord said, I'm going to call. And you are going to answer. And you're going to have to give an account for what you did in this body, right? Meaning you're going to have to stand before a righteous judge. Huh? A judge that is right. Huh? Always. And everywhere he looked, he right. Everywhere he turned, he right, right? Ain't no gray areas.
No.
Ain't no wrong in him at all.
No.
Everything he say is fair.
Right.
Huh? You can cop a plea. You can say, but Lord, I didn't know. Lord say, but look, I told you. I said for you to do this and to do that. But ain't no buts. I said for you to do this and to do that. What did you do with my word? Well, I was going to. What was got you in hell? You got to make up your mind. Huh? Then I sent that song to everybody. You need to make up your mind. You need to choose who you're going to serve. And I mean, that got to be a wholeheartedly thing. You got to say within yourself, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do the things that make Jesus happy. Huh? Forget you. Forget the next person. I want to do the things that make Jesus happy. Because at the end of the day, when I die, only one I want to see is Jesus. You say, oh, I want to see my mom and my dad. Well, I'm trying to tell you, what if your mother and your father is not saved? You sure you want to see them? Get quiet then when you think about that thought, though.
Huh? Yes.
What if your mother and your father did not have the Holy Ghost? I know what you thought. You can't tell me, Mama. I know what you thought. But I'm trying to tell you, what if they did not have the Holy Ghost? Because somebody knew them better than you did. Who knew them better than me? How you go? The man called Jesus. He know everything. Nothing gets by Jesus. He knows the thoughts and the intents of everybody. He knows who's real. And he knows who's not.
Right.
Huh? That's why you got to be careful who you say you want to go to eternity with.
Right.
Only you need to say within yourself was, Lord, let me be right.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, help me to do and say the things that you say for me to do in your word.
Yes.
Help me, Lord Jesus, to seek you with everything inside of me.
Right.
Yes. You told me to have the Holy Ghost. Lord, help me. Help me to receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Help me to be serious. Huh? Serious about receiving the Holy Ghost. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. You need to be serious about receiving the Holy Ghost. You got to realize, Lord, I am unfit. I am unworthy. I don't deserve you to come in. But it's because of your grace and your mercy. Huh? You allow my lips. Huh? To say Jesus, right? That's true. You shouldn't be saying no Jesus. When Jesus is the saving name, when Jesus is the name of salvation, you and I should not be saying his name. We're not good enough to say his name. We're not worthy to say the name Jesus. That name is not worth. His name is so precious, it's not even worthy to come across our ungodly, unfit lips. But yet he still let us say his name. All of our errors. All of our errors. All of our shortcomings. He still let us say the name Jesus. Knowing that that name do what? It saves. That name, it delivers. So who do you think will try to keep you from calling on his name? You say, Elder Scott, I don't believe the devil's real. Okay, go right on. Go right on and think he's not real. Go right. It's evidence that he's real. How you know he's real? Because he's the one making you think he's not real. He's real and he talks. How you know he talks? Because he's talking through you right now. He's uttering, he's putting the idea in your mind that he's not real, and he's verbalizing it. You hear the devil talking more than you really think you do. Devil be telling you got time. Devil was the one telling you you don't have to do all of that. Devil is the one telling you not tonight.
Right.
Not today. Devil is the one telling you we'll do it tomorrow. False reality. Huh? Devil's the one telling you that the Lord loves you too much. Lord love you too much for you to go to hell. Ain't that many people going to hell. Good Lord. You listen to that man talk all that stuff. He make you think ain't nobody going back with Jesus. Ain't that many people going to hell. Who you think talking to you like that? Nobody but the devil himself. Why he telling me all this? Because he don't want to be in hell by himself. He knows Jesus made hell for him. When Jesus made hell, he didn't have you in mind. When the Lord made a place of torment, he did not have you and I in mind. Only one he had in mind is Satan and those fallen angels. But we let that devil fool us. Let that devil con us to following right behind him. Tell us everything we want to hear. But the truth. I don't like going to Jesus because Jesus be talking about me too much. But you think about what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to stop doing the wrong. You think about all the stuff Jesus be talking to you about. All he basically telling you to do is stop doing the wrong. He say, this stuff is killing you. This stuff is making you feel real bad. You do it, you don't feel good after it. But that devil tell you, go right on. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Maybe the next time you'll feel better. I ain't feel good this time. Maybe the next time. Try it again. Try it one more time. Try it again. Try it again. That devil. And you follow right on in behind him. Be following right behind him, following right behind him. As I told you all Friday, he go right down there. Then the death angel call you. Jesus calls you by your name. Jesus calls you by your name. You stop breathing. What you do? You go there. You go right down into the pit. Right on down into hell. And the sad thing is, your leader's not even down there with you. I was following the devil, and I thought when I got to hell, he was going to be there with me. No, he ain't. That devil said, I still got time to work. You the one ran out of your time. And who's the loser? You the loser. And when you get down into that pit, when you get down in that hell, huh? Guess who's going to be exalted? The very one you were trying to avoid. The very one you said I was going to come to him tomorrow. Very one that was trying to work with you, trying to love you, trying to help you. But the Lord said, you were none of my reproof received. Therefore, I'm going to put you in an environment where you're going to cry. Where you're going to scream. You're going to cry out with a loud voice. I don't like going to y'all church. Y'all be too loud. My ear be bothering my ears. Go to your old quiet room then. Lord going to put you in an environment in eternity that's real loud. And you're going to be one of the ones making all the noise. But the crying will never be loud enough. Because I don't care how much you cry, it's not going to stop the pain. Isn't that something? I don't care how much you cry, it don't stop the pain. I don't care how much you scream, it don't stop the fire. You realize rich man is still screaming today as he was during the days of Lazarus. Say, Elder Scott, he didn't get used to it? No. It feel like to him he just got there. And he done been there a long time. And would you rather be in eternity like that? That's why it's best to pay attention to the message. Let the Lord save you. Let the Lord work with you. Make you the person that he desires for you to be. Be sincere about your efforts. Efforts. That's what you're putting forth, an effort. Be sincere about it. Let the Lord know, Lord, I'm very serious about being saved. I'm very serious about wanting you to have what? Mercy. Is that what Psalm 51 says? Lord, have mercy upon me, O God. According to your what? According to your love, your kindness, your tender mercy. Did he say, keep me in my sin? He said, blot it out. In other words, get rid of this stuff. Stuff that's not like you. Language that is not like you. Attitudes that are not like you. Emotions that are not like you. Lord, take that stuff what away from me. And when you see it come up, call it out.
Yes.
Don't blame other folk. Call it out. Right. Why? Because it's coming out of who? It's coming out of you.
Right.
They made me do it. No. Who did it come out of?
Right.
It came out of you. So you ask the Lord, take that away from me.
Right.
Is that the truth, saints?
Yes, it is.
We don't want to keep going through life. That little brother wrote a beautiful song when he wrote that song about cycles. The concept of it. Because you'd be going through the same thing over and over again. It's like your life is just a revolving wheel. Feel good, feel bad, feel down, feel depressed, feel good, feel bad, feel down, feel depressed, feel good, feel bad. Man, you should get tired.
Right?
You should get tired of it. You should be saying to yourself, enough is enough. Lord, take me off of this wheel. Put me on the what? The straight and the narrow. You do yourself real good, you do that, saints. All right? All right. I'm done. I didn't even get into the consider the name. But y'all know I tried to, though. You value what the Lord has blessed you to have. He's given us all a salvation. And it's very plain. It's not a complex message. What makes it hard is our unwillingness to do what Jesus says for us to do. Our understanding that Jesus is not there to accommodate us. You know what accommodations mean? Meaning to make little changes so that you make you fit, you know. No. There's no accommodations. You know how the little fella y'all moved him over there? That was an accommodation. He said, well, I'm going to move him from one spot to another because we're going to accommodate him. But look, Jesus said, this is not an accommodating way. Either you do it or you don't. See, in holiness, Lord would have just said, nope, right? Sit there and shut your mouth. Don't you open up your mouth. And he had to be willing to say, Lord, amen. Amen, Jesus. He can kick and fight up. Amen, Jesus. The Lord going to say, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. Right? Does that make sense? Either you're going to do it or you're not going to be doing it. Either you're going to be saved or you're going to be lost. Either you're going to let the Lord fill you with the Holy Ghost or you're going to go to the grave empty. Huh? Do you want to go to the grave empty? No. I want the Lord to fill me up so that when I go back, when it's time for me to go, he'll be right down inside of me, right?